Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Some councils are auditing schools and urging a ban on the terms boy and girl.
For those who are in an open or polyamorous relationship, your relationships are holy.
A gay black woman's victim status is less than that of a black trans woman, who ranks below a black Muslim trans woman.
We don't want to just win the argument about sexuality. We want to use this as a gospel opportunity.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is it time to throw in the towel? Well, define towel. This is Wretched Radio. The times, they most certainly have changed. We are now living in, it is indisputable, a post-Christian world. Story after story, exhibit after exhibit, all pointing toward a Western civilization that is not the same as it used to be. Predominantly accepting that the Christian worldview is basically the way things run around here. I recognize that was an exaggeration, but the majority of people professing to be Christian, there really wasn't much competition for Christianity. If you took Protestantism and Catholicism and you put them together statistically, overwhelming majority of Americans. And so we used to sing patriotic songs about God blessing America. We believe that God was the supreme authority, so we put him on our currency to say it is in him we trust. Today, all being challenged, all of it. And the question is, how will you and I spend our time living in this post-Christian world, and with what attitude? That's kind of a biggie, isn't it? How do you respond when you see story after story of things radically changing? How do you feel? How do you talk about it? And then what do you do when you read that in Alaska, a state government meeting opened up with an invocation from a Satanist? That's right. Not a Christian invocation. A Satanist. Unbelievable. Now, this was in the Kenai Peninsula borough, about 70 miles south of Anchorage. Anchorage, salute to everybody in Alaska. A lot of good believers there. A new policy allowing for anyone in the borough to offer an invocation no matter their religion. Now, that seems to me to be a pattern that you and I, not longingly, but we can look forward to happening more and more and more. I am not a constitutional attorney, but I have to admit, I get their point of view. How can a government, which is not supposed to be endorsing a particular religion, say to any other religion, no, you can't? I don't see how a secular government can do that. And it is a secular government. Now, I recognize its underpinnings by the founding fathers, the idea that rights are given by a creator. We're not like France. I understand that. But it is nevertheless a secular government that used to have prayers offered up in house chambers by Christians. Now, other people, they're complaining, hey, if you only allow Christians to do that, that's an unequal application of the law. What about my rights to practice my religion? This is the old, if you say yes to one, you got to say yes to all of them. And I think that's going to be happening more and more. The question is, what attitude do I have when I read these stories? And what is my response? And I will say this loudly and clearly. If you as a believer, you wish to get engaged, you wish, like 40 other people did, protest the satanic temple invocation, holding up signs, reject Satan and his works, know Jesus and his love. They were outside of the government building. You can do that if you would like to. I just don't know if that's going to help much anymore, will it? History happens in time. It seems to me we're past that. And when you've got people like Dan Barker, the Freedom from Religion Foundation, and you've even got the Satanic Temple saying, hey, look, if you let those other religions do an invocation, we're a religion, let us do it too. I think we can only look forward like not longingly, to this happening more and more. Thought you might be interested. Okay, I didn't actually think you're interested, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. The brazen, no Exodus allusion intended there, the brazenness of the Satanic Temple. A woman who was from the Satanic Temple brought a lawsuit and basically said, we get to pray too. She called the room to be present and for attendees to clear their minds, which is the exact opposite of Christianity. Everything she said is the exact opposite of Christianity. Sometimes the devil, he'll operate as an angel of light. He'll slide untruth really close to truth, but it's all in an effort to dismantle the truth and to change what people perceive as true, because everything about the devil is contra. It is anti-Christ, everything. And you're going to hear that in this invocation. She asked listeners to embrace the impulse to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Like she took her two satanic fingers and just walked around and poked every Christian in the eye. Look what we get to say. Well, you gotta give them props for being out about it. They're not trying to be subtle. Well, you know, we just kind of believe in some, and the devil's really good. They're just going for it. Let us demand, she invoked, that humans be judged for their actions. Well, you can count on that happening, madam, because you're going to be. And it's not going to be a good day for you. Or the devil that you worship, because he's going to be bound and thrown into the same pit that you will go into if you do not repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. You do not want to be in the line at the great white throne judgment where you are judged for your sins. Christians are judged for their labors for the Lord, and we get rewards, crowns that we get to throw at his feet joyfully. If you're not in Christ, oh, don't worry, you're going to get judged for your actions, madam. Quote, I don't know what this means. That which will not bend must break, and that which can be destroyed by truth should never be spared as demised. It is done. Hail Satan! I don't translate Satanese very well, so I'm not exactly sure what she meant. I'm sure she meant something. Furthermore, this is not the first time that this has happened. 2018, you may recall, the Chicago chapter of the Satanic Temple had a snake-tivity statue outside of the Illinois Statehouse Rotunda, basically saying, hey, you get to have a nativity? You get to have a menorah? Well, we get to have a snake. Real subtle. The statue, which featured a hand holding up an apple with a serpent wrapped around it, was included alongside a nativity scene and a Hanukkah menorah titled Knowledge is the Greatest Gift. How do you stop that? I'm not sure at this point we can. Unless, of course, Miss Satanic Temple gets, you know, saved. Then that would change because she wouldn't want to pray, would she? I see this in every realm. The pro-choicer, they get saved. They become pro-life. The pro, just anything goes sexually, they get saved. Changes everything, doesn't it? What is our attitude? How do we respond? Seems to me the gospel is the solution for our post-Christian problem. Let me take you now to Ohio. There's a congressperson, he's a state representative there. He's not happy that the libraries are having, what do they call, transgender presentations, yeah. Basically, is what they're called. And so he wrote a letter saying, hey, this isn't what people want. They don't want their kids being trained in transgenderism. The Library Council responded to this fellow about their First Amendment. They offer the facilities to everyone regardless of the content of their message. Quote, a statement from the organization indicated that library events reflect diverse communities and programming that might not reflect everyone's views. That's right. And if they say that we represent this view here, they do have to represent the other views. Unless, of course, the head librarian were a Christian. Unless, of course, everybody who worked there were a Christian. We're living in a different time. And when we see these stories, and we are seeing them constantly now, consider what's going on in Australia. This is not just an American issue. This is Canadian. This is going on in Great Britain. Preachers getting arrested in the streets. I don't know the details, but another group of open-air preachers got arrested at the Oklahoma Pride event that was going on. Israel Folau in Australia. Does he have the right to tweet on his own Twitter machine a Bible verse? This is happening everywhere. And we are living in a post-Christian world, and that is going to continue more and more. And I do not want to get angry, because I really could quite easily. And I could be very quick to cling to, hey, this isn't the way that it's been. We've got to go back. The only way to go back is to get people saved. That's the only way. If you want to see people behaving morally, not doing wicked things in front of our children, they simply need to get saved. That is why I'm not throwing in the towel, but the towel that I'm clinging to is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Anything less will only produce temporary fixes and moralistic people who are merely whitewashed tombs. It is only the gospel that will change the human heart, and ultimately that will change our culture. This is Wretched Radio.
Alicia's a full-time nurse. On the weekend, she was running a pregnancy clinic in the highest abortion neighborhood in the United States, Queens, New York. More babies killed than there are born in this place. And she was raising the money on her own, and it's only open one day a week.
We could change that. There could be a pro-life center open 7 days a week, providing free ultrasounds for women by supporting preborn.org/wretched.
Preborn is very intentional and deliberate in providing free, loving, gospel-centered alternatives and ultrasounds to these young women in New York City. We're on it, man. It's not easy, and it's probably going to get a lot harder, I think.
Please join preborn.org/wretched in their effort to save babies and to save mommies through the gospel and stop this cycle. Would you please consider supporting preborn.org/wretched? preborn.org/wretched.
Obeying the Great Commission has never been easier. So far, you've given away over 200,000 copies of our evangelistic booklet, What Time is Purple? And we couldn't be more thrilled with that number. Well done. But we are far from finished. Not to be greedy, but our goal is to give away 1 million copies of What Time is Purple? Perfect for college students struggling to find out what the truth is. Visit wretched.org/purple today and order as many copies as you promised to give away. You just pay for the shipping. And together, we can reach 1 million students with the gospel. 1 million. If you're a ministry or a church group that would like to pass out What Time is Purple, we'd love to send you a bunch of copies. Email Al Yerkes at al@wretched.org for more information. And join us in obeying the Great Commission. Visit wretched.org/purple for your copies of What Time is Purple today. That's wretched.org/purple.
Don't take my word for why you should support the Masters Academy International. Take John MacArthur's.
We go into countries all over the world to train pastors, to train them in godliness, to train them in expositing the scripture, in teaching sound theology. Some of our training centers are 30 years in, and they're now turned over completely to the indigenous leadership of those countries, and we can pull out and go to another country. They're in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, Latin America, Asia. Strong pastors make strong churches. Strong churches make strong Christians, and that makes a high impact of Christianity in the world.
That is why I would like to invite you to consider supporting the Masters Academy International. Little mini seminaries, Todd, that was redundant, all over the world. Please strengthen the church by supporting the Masters Academy International. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor. wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the seed of the woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a Savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine Savior born of the seed of woman.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Adjective, adverb, or drag queen? This is Wretched Radio. You didn't think grammar was important. That's pretty much it. Headline from Cincinnati. Drag queen, capital sparkle, space, capital L-E-I-G-H. Sparkle, Lee. Is it an adjective? Is it an adverb? Or is it a drag queen? Brings LGBT story time to, you're thinking a library, silly rabbit. It was to a church. Presbyterian, Joey.
Presbyterian, yes. Church, probably not.
Because of Pride Month, an entire month, not a day, a month, given to Pride. This was a Presbyterian church. The fellow who did the performance typically can be seen around the church sweeping the floors and getting the building ready for worship services. So either a volunteer or he works there. Oh, boy. And at nighttime, he dresses up like a woman. Well, on Sunday a week ago, the caretaker woke up before the sun to get ready for a new role at the church. He spent hours applying layers and layers of makeup and glitter to transform himself into an adjective, sparkly. Sparkle-ly. No, it's a drag. It's not an adverb because that's got to be an action. So an adjective actually describes. So sparkle-ly. You got to pause. You got sparkle-ly.
Lee.
Mm-hmm. Read a book telling the story of Harvey Milk, the first openly gay politician to be elected in California. While the story was directed toward children sitting at the speaker's feet, some teenagers also joined them in the front, and the whole congregation, young and old, clapped at the exciting parts of the tale. Sparkle-ly, ladies and gentlemen, sparkly inside of a Presbyterian church. Well. And speaking of Pride Month, children can handle the kink of pride parades, says LGBTQ activists.
Really?
LGBTQ activists are now encouraging parents to take their children to pride rallies, even if the event has sexually explicit activity.
No.
It does. No question about it. It does. I don't know why the news cameras never show that. Oh, wait, they can't show it on TV, but we can bring our children to it. What a world. What a world. What does the world need now? It is not love, sweet love. It needs the gospel. This is increasingly bad thinking and bad behavior and bad, well, everything. And this is just more fruit from the same rotten root, a lack of faith in Jesus Christ. LGBTQ activists saying, quote, first of all, nobody likes nakedness more than children. Well, great. Then they'll get to see adults parading around at the parade. How's that for thinking? There's absolutely no reason not to take our kids to Pride. It's a fun day. There are a lot of bubbles, rainbow streamers. I don't know what Noah and the Ark have to do with this. And enjoyable performances. You know, I was thinking about Noah and the Ark. Actually, I was. I was reading through Genesis. Okay, Ken Ham told me to do it every week, so I'm just trying to be obedient. He said every day, but we negotiated just once a week. So I'm reading through the story of the flood and God's patience waiting over 100 years before he wiped out the world with a flood. God is so patient. Everybody thinks that God is just, well, he just wiped out people with a bunch of water. Remember, the ark is Jesus. Water doesn't save. It is the ark, 1 Peter 2, Jesus that saves. The water was judgment. And God waited over a hundred years for that judgment. So then, right after that story, which is a true historical event, we get to the story of the Tower of Babel, which is fascinating to read because it explains why our world is the way that it is socially, social scientifically. Why the languages? Where did they come from? God. I also think it could include cultures. That what God did at the Tower of Babel, he divided people. Everybody was getting together to conspire, to build a tower to the throne, to kick God off of his rightful seat and sit themselves down. And God said, well, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to divide your languages, and I'm going to divide, I think, even your cultures. I think that explains why we see such different cultures on different continents, to confuse the people so that we can't join together in a one world order to try to go to war against God. When you think about that, these details are not given in Genesis chapter 9, but nevertheless, God gave them different languages. So all of the root languages that we see on the planet today, do you know who created those? God did. And that had to be everything. A dictionary. How brilliant is God? I mean, as if creation doesn't scream it enough. All of the languages, all of its words, all of its grammar, all of it. God created it. Boop, there it is, giving it to you, right? Fully formed. Otherwise, they wouldn't be able to understand each other. There's no indication of that. All of a sudden, somebody was speaking French. Somebody speaking German. Or whatever the root language was. God gave that to them. And then he separated them so that they couldn't go to war because they are so evil that they will try to take God's place. And that is the height of evil right there. Now, fast forward to Acts chapter 2. There's an interesting story about languages and God giving languages a second time. But it was for the exact opposite reason. God gave multiple languages at the Tower of Babel because people were evil. At Pentecost, God gave people foreign languages, not an indiscernible tongue, but foreign languages so that the gospel could be carried to all of these civilizations for the saving of evil men. Have you forgotten how completely exquisite the Bible is, and how it is thematic, and how it's not just a bunch of nonsensical stories, which actually is why it makes me bonkers when I hear some people go, you know, the Bible, it's just, whoa, and these are Christians, even pastors, it's just, well, who can figure that thing out? Oh, it's very figure out a bull, because it is exquisite when it comes to its consistency. Back to the Pride Report. No reason not to take your kids to the Pride, bubbles, rainbow streamers, enjoyable performances. A self-described sex therapist said she brings her two young grandchildren to the Pride parades. She believes that from kink to nakedness, Pride parades are a great opportunity for parents to educate their kids about sex. You know, there's nothing wrong with talking to your kids about it. Showing it to them? Really? We've got to put it there on display?
Maybe they're visual learners.
This thinking, this is Romans 1. Children benefit from seeing people loving one another, from seeing diversity and inclusion. There's no diversity and inclusion there. You go try to hand out some gospel tracts at these parades. Rots a ruck with that. Quote, children suffer from seeing violence and fear, hatred and divisiveness. I can't imagine a safer place for families to bring children.
Oh, I can.
I'm sure you can't, because yeah. Your imagination is completely broken.
I hope
Romans
so.
1, it's the effect of the fall, and the less influence of Christianity, the worse it gets.
What you got there?
Yeah. I've totally run out of store. I've got
there are
nothing.
No more?
Am I short on time?
Well, the rest of the world is perfect?
I'll just read this letter from Philip. Hello, okay. Todd. Yesterday, my wife and I decided to take our two boys, age 5 and 7, to a museum. That's a nice thing to do. Little did we know that what was going on in the park next to the museum was a Pride festival. How providential this would be. Thing that I happened to grab. We still took the boys to the museum, thinking we could avoid the festival. Now, considering they would use, I didn't know that they would use the same parking garage. On the way back to our car, we saw a man leading another man on a leash. Also, a man wearing spandex shorts saw himself in the reflection of a window and must have liked what he saw and began to twerk right in front of my two boys. I said, excuse me, there's children here. He twerked all the more.
Great.
Is this what we're expected to tolerate? Yes, Phil. Yes, it is. Not only will you tolerate it, you'll affirm it, and you will praise it. It is not mere tolerance that is the end game here. It is an absolute embrace. This, again, is Romans 1. Read through Romans 1. It's a fantastic and so vivid and so accurate depiction of depravity, how it spins down and down and down, and how it ultimately ends at the bottom of the barrel with completely perverted sexuality. But then it has another step to go, that people in authority, they endorse it. They give it their hearty affirmation. Yes, that is good. And that's where we're headed yet. The question I would ask you to consider, questions, what's your heart? Remember, people aren't the enemy. They're the harvest field. I know it feels a lot like Sodom and Gomorrah, but these are just lost people, like other lost people like you and me once were. Furthermore, what are we going to do? The solution to these types of stories? Seems to me it's still the Great Commission. This is Wretched Radio.
Important dates in Christian history. 1906. The Azusa Street Revival in Los Angeles, California, launches Pentecostalism and paves the way for the development of the modern charismatic movement. Pentecostalism is marked by a focus on supernatural gifts such as healing and speaking in tongues. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A church is one, foundation is Jesus Christ.
Don't we have professionals for that?
No, we don't. The thing is busted. This is Wretched Radio. In an effort to fix the sound here at Wretched Radio, we're in the middle of it, which means little technical glitch here, a little bit there, and right now I'm without my computer. So I'll just be honest with you. I thought my singing was better than the usual choir we use, but that's just me, because when I hear myself sing, it is amazing how on pitch I am. I always hit those high notes in the car by myself.
Exactly.
Until somebody pulls up next to me on a nice spring day when I have the windows down and they can actually hear me. That's always a lovely moment. Let's get to some church news, shall we? This is a story that may or may not upset you. It's from the EFCA. This is the Evangelical Church of America. Perhaps the two most popular people, the most known people in the EFCA would be A.W. Tozer. No, he was CMA. He was Christian and Missionary Alliance. Yeah. Charles Swindoll is EFCA. So I guess there's just one that I can think of. Charles Swindoll. EFRE, Evangelical Free Church of America. Yep. Their statement of faith, this was originally passed in 2017, but a bunch of technical rules stuff. It has now been formalized, where the board of directors introduced an amendment, a paragraph 9, article 3 of the Articles of Incorporation of the EFCA statement of faith. We believe in the personal body, and it used to say, premillennial return of our Lord Jesus Christ. They scratched out premillennial and changed it to glorious. To read, we believe in the personal body and glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of Christ at a time known only to God demands constant expectancy and, as our blessed hope, motivates the believer to godly living, sacrificial service, and energetic mission. Is that a heretical change? No, it's not. Now, it might not make you excited if you're a pre-miller. Not like, you know, with... What's a miller do? Something with timber, isn't it? A
hangs
miller?
Out with fish at the mill station.
Grain.
No.
They mill grain.
That's what they do right there. Has nothing to do with milling grain. It has nothing to do with really essential theology. So if you happen to be premillennial and you're in the EFCA, you should know that your statement of faith has changed. And you should, however, know the motivation behind it. The motion was unanimously adopted by the board of directors, and they wanted to change it from premillennial because they recognized that people inside of the EFCA do not share the same eschatology, and so they simply chose a word that nobody would argue about, the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Quote, the EFCA statement of faith is composed of theological convictions central to our faith. The affirmations are theological essentials because they relate to our salvation, vitally connected to the gospel, and they determined, well, end times isn't. And so they changed it. Look, this is not a prophetic utterance. This is not intended to besmirch the EFCA. It is a totally orthodox evangelical denomination. I say this about every denomination, of course. It always depends on the local expression of it, because you can have a national or a denominational statement of faith. How it gets practiced, because there's a difference between what's in the file cabinet and what happens in the pulpit or in the church sanctuary or anywhere else in the body, that it really depends on the local expression. Nevertheless, the EFCA, totally orthodox. I don't mean any harm. My only concern is that a denomination or a church body, this is my observation, you can certainly disagree with this, that isn't square on everything, where they try the, hey, look, we're just going to stick with the essentials and we'll just kind of let the other things be. I totally get that. We do have unity in Christ if we agree on the essentials. Do we not? Yes, we do. So if we believe in the Trinity correctly, salvation by grace alone, sola scriptura, then we are together. I'm not for a mere Christianity. Hey, it's just about you. Just believe that Jesus loves you and you're good. You're good. That's the gospel. Is it, man? No, there's more to it than that. There's more theology. Read the Athanasian Creed, for instance. Read the Chalcedonian Creed, for instance. Theology is important, and we have got to be square on those essentials. Otherwise, we don't have unity. And then we debate. Then we rebuke. Then we instruct. Then we shine a light on false teaching. Otherwise, we have unity, don't we? And the same thing would be true with the people who are in the EFCA who have different eschatology. But it is my observation that when a movement or a denomination doesn't have a thorough, consistent statement of faith that is buttoned down, it tends to introduce more challenges to more theologies and more acquiescence and more, hey, well, then it's just this, because we want to make sure that we maintain that unity. And I've just seen it inside of churches, inside of denominations, where we kind of let those things go. And inevitably, I think it leads to breakdown. I'm all for a high and thorough statement of faith. If we're going to do a body together, this is my take. I know a lot of people disagree with this. If we're going to be in the body together, if we're going to be in a denomination, let's nail it down, man. Let's get this all figured out. Because otherwise, I know the concept is, we'll just all get along. I just don't see it playing out that way. So let's hope that that doesn't happen with this issue with the EFCA. Please note, did I mention they're totally orthodox? They're not heretics. They're just, I think, following a trend that I just haven't seen work real great. And speaking of end times theology, I would like to do my impression now of an end times radio ministry program. Are you ready for this one, gentlemen? This should
ready
be
is all over
not,
me.
But go ahead.
Got that right. This is about mobile technology. It has nothing to do with Alabama. Mobile technology has transformed the way that we live, how we read, work, communicate, shop, and date. But the way that these little machines in front of us are remolding our skeletons, possibly altering not just the behaviors we exhibit, but the bodies we inhabit.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. New research in biomechanics suggests that young people are developing horn-like spikes at the back of their skulls. Bone spurs caused by the forward tilt of the head, which shifts weight from the spine to the muscles at the back of the head, causing bone growth in the connecting tendons and ligaments that look like spikes, horns, coming out of the back of the head. And that is why you should not be buying Apple products. What do you think that logo is all about anyway? It's an apple with a bite taken out of it. We all know that Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit, a Honeycrisp apple. Clearly, that is a symbol of rebellion, and it is just a matter of time. Mark my words, brothers and sisters, get your checkbooks out and your pens ready to write in a big number. When Apple releases the 666 edition of the iPhone, That is when the Antichrist is going to come, and a bunch of people running around with spikes coming out of their heads are going to follow him right to the pit of hell. Send your gifts to We Are Wonky About Eschatology at P.O. Box 66665. No, that's a bad one.
777.
777.
Yeah.
Anaheim, California, or something like that. Thank you. Thank you very much. That was my impression of...
Scary part is, I'm thinking you're pretty close.
I fear that that's the case, too. I'm not suggesting that all end times ministries are wonky, but be careful. This is true for all of us. Any ministry that is focused on a tangential theology... It's not a law that it's heretical, but it's in danger of going real wonky. Every ministry should be about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what every ministry, talk about all the other things, yep, but when it's just on one issue, look out. It can be problematic. So eschatology, great subject, but it really should be about Jesus Christ. Focusing on him more than timing and world events. I was just reading the foreword. I didn't bring it into the studio. Costi Hinn has a brand new book out. The name rings a bell. He's the nephew of Benny Hinn. He was writing a book on the prosperity gospel that his uncle is one of the preeminent leaders of. And he's so gentle. He's so soft-spoken. And he writes lovingly. He's very concerned that people are being duped by it. And the preface, I was just able to read that this morning. The preface was that he was sitting with Dr. Steve Lawson, and he was telling him about this book and kind of giving him the outline. And Steve Lawson apparently stood up and said, Costi, stories are fine. Go ahead and tell your story. But if your story isn't pointing to the greatest story about Jesus Christ, then you're wasting people's time. Leave it to Steve. And Costi went, and that's exactly what I've tried to do in this book. Point to Jesus Christ. Even as he tries to point out the problems with the prosperity gospel, he points to Jesus, and we should too. This is Wretched Radio. Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church?
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, Wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you much for listening to Wretched Radio. Glad you would spend part of your day with us. I really need to say thank you to our gospel partners. Think about it. Everything that goes on here, from the radio and TV shows, our internet presence, developing resources for you, and our current giveaways of booklets, What Time is Purple and Are You a Rotten Fish? All of that made possible through the generosity of our gospel partners. The folks who team with us to preach the gospel, equip people to preach and defend the gospel, and to strengthen the local church, and to get that message to millions of people around the world. So to our gospel partners, thank you very much. You are greatly appreciated. And for those of you who aren't our gospel partners yet, would you think about it? Today, maybe. Go to wretched.org/donate and get the details on becoming a gospel partner, giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on a monthly basis. Wretched.org/donate, because the more you give, the more we can give away. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
So, you don't think that your sponsorship of a Tomorrow Club is worth it, huh?
one of the kids that came, you know, our parents were both alcoholics. The leader said, why don't you invite your mother to come? She started coming and she'd hear little pieces of the gospel, and she started drinking a little bit less and started coming to the church, and the church started trying to help them. And believe it or not, even the father stopped drinking, and the whole family has come to the Lord. Now this family operates the Tomorrow Club.
These stories are happening all over Eastern Europe. Poor villages, the Tomorrow Clubs invade. They meet with the kids every week. They disciple them. They preach the gospel to them. They have them memorize Bible verses. The kids get saved. The parents get saved. And the local church gets strengthened. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? $30 a month. 30 little disciples. You can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Books of the Bible. The Apostle Peter wrote a second epistle to clarify and defend the Christian message. He asserts the authority of Scripture, warns against false teachers, and reminds us that the end is coming. But God is patient, allowing all of his people to come to repentance. If you want a clear contrast between true and false Christianity, look to 2 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, that's the presidential thing. What's the thing where they graduate? How does that one go, Joey?
Da, 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 da.
Uh-huh.
Da, 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 da.
You know, Dom, I'm still not getting it. Would you keep going with that a little bit?
Da, 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 da.
Wow, do I wish I were the guy who could record things and play them afterwards. That's all I'm saying. This is Wretched Radio. Time for...
something.
University News. That's right. Oh, this is a very popular segment here. University News on Wretched Radio. Let me just say, I couldn't be more pleased about a new study. College majors that have the highest and lowest unemployment rates. Would you like to know what kids they go to school? Typically, not always, but typically rack up a whole lot of debt. Which ones aren't getting jobs? According to the Census Bureau 2016 and 17 American Community Survey, who does not get employed with their sheepskin, lambskin, their diploma in their hand? It would be mass media degrees. There are a whole lot of kids taking that particular degree. Ain't nothing wrong with mass media. Well, there is, but those quibbles aside, there's just not enough jobs for the number of kids who are taking those classes, and they're not getting hired. 7.8% unemployment rate. That is the number one least employed diploma that comes out of a university. Coming in second was liberal arts at 6.7% due to its broad nature. It's not specific enough. It doesn't get the job done for employers who are looking for specific skill sets. 6.7%. Coming in at third, 6.6% anthropology degrees. Again, few jobs related to the study. They're not getting hired. 6.2 unemployment rate, philosophy. Now, see, I thought that would be higher than almost anything else. You know,
I thought that would be our winner.
Women's studies.
How do we know what's higher?
I told you, the Census Bureau in the 2016 and 17 American Community Survey.
Yes, but how do we know that those facts are actually truth?
Okay, Joey, have you been going to the university again? Stop it.
I'm trying to put my philosophy degree into practice.
You certainly did just that. Could I do a shout out before we get to the lowest unemployment degree? He says, almost gloatingly, please note, university degree, great. Are they needed? Yeah, for some professions, but not all. Was just reading a different, it was a different story, and it was the field of electricians. You want to make six figures? Become an electrician. Love that. Because these are trades where people work with their hands, which is so often poo-pooed at universities. I mean, as dirty as anybody should get when they graduate from a university is perhaps getting a schmudge on their hands from working on the back of a computer. But working with your hands, isn't there something about that that just feels good? Whatever it is that you put your hand to, even if you don't put your hand to it, it has satisfaction. God works, we works, there's satisfaction in work. But isn't there something about watching a garden grow that you planted, eating a meal that you helped prepare, doing a job where you can see the visible, tangible fruit of your labor? Okay, for instance, Samuel here at Wretched. He's the guy, well, what does he do? Everything, basically. He's that guy. He does everything. If something goes wrong, typically this is what you hear. Samuel! And then he takes care of the problems, internet, computers, all of that stuff. Well, a week ago, we had a Wretched sale. And I know that this is going to start to sound like a plug for a product. Well, I am not going to take this opportunity to tell you to order your copies free of What Time Is Purple so you can give away the gospel, because that is the solution for our civilization's problems, all of them. Not going to do that if you visit wretched.org/purple. We had a sale about a week ago. Hundreds of orders needed to be prepared. Samuel jumped into the warehouse and worked like a dog getting orders ready. And I saw him on Friday. I didn't realize he was back there so much, and he was just sweating bullets because, you know, like most, we don't have air conditioning in the warehouse. And I was like, Samuel, have you been back here like all day? No, actually the last 3 days. And he wasn't sour at all. And I was like, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were back here. I would have provided for you some relief. And he looked at me and he goes, No, I enjoyed this a lot. Okay, why? Well, maybe it was a distraction from the typical work that he does, but I also believe it's because it's just, look at that pile. Look at, we did 160 orders shipped today or whatever it was, and we did send out 50,000 copies of What Time Is Purple last week, and I think we're scheduled to send out another 50,000 copies of What Time Is Purple. I think we're over 400,000 copies distributed thanks to you. Order your copies at wretched.org/purple. But I am not going to sneak in a plug because that would be far too obvious and consistent, by the way. Working with your hands, it is a good thing. So if your son, your daughter, isn't built for academics, that doesn't mean anything. Other than it'd probably be a waste to go to university. You make that decision with your kids. But there is nothing wrong with going either to a tech school, to a community college, to a trade school, or to simply apprenticing. There is no shame in that whatsoever. And I wish that academia would stop with the arrogant attitude that looks down their noses at people who, well, they go home so oily and they don't have a degree. I've got 7 degrees. I'm a doctor of anthropology, and I was able to get one of the 6 jobs in my field at the university, of course, teaching other kids about anthropology so that they can be unemployed when they're done. Aren't we brilliant? They shouldn't make you feel bad. Don't buy it. God, I think, loves men and women who work with their hands. Look, again, all jobs for the glory of God. You put your hand to it, you build something, you tame something, and you can do that even on computers. I get that. There will be a satisfaction that I think that you get that many of us do not. How do you think I feel? I talk. That's it. Best I can do is make more papers get moved around this table. That's about all I can do. You fix an air conditioner. You deal with plumbing issues, I say good on you. But having said all of that, the number one diploma, if you want a job, you ready for this? Get a theology degree. Not kidding, 1%. You get a theology degree, you're getting a gig. Those with theology and religion degrees, 1.0%, the lowest unemployment rate. Medical technicians, 2nd place. Theology degrees. They will get you work. Hey, this is interesting. Liberty University, they just cut 12 people, professors, at their School of Divinity. Well, that's odd, because I thought those
Didn't we just see?
Yeah. No. Can only speculate, and I'm not going to, because that typically tends to be gossip. An online education boom helped fuel massive construction projects on campus. That's how Liberty has exploded, really. There's a lot of kids who go there on the campus, but it is online where it absolutely dominates. 17-story tower, big old building. But they're cutting the divinity programs. Online enrollment at Liberty School of Divinity, among the university's largest programs, have been falling in recent years. The declines came as freshman applications plunged in 2016. So it would appear some employment stuff is down. Some of those let go were well-loved professors who'd been at Liberty for over a decade. The term of their departures include offers of severance and also non-disclosure agreements. I don't know what happened. I know that there's some people speculating online, and until it becomes clear, and even then it may not be any of my business. I don't know what happened. Falwell, Jerry, that is, has been unapologetic about running the university as a business. That's worth noting. By many metrics, successful. Liberty has remained massively profitable, increasing its net assets by more than $950 million between 2014 and 18, while never making less than $188 million in any year during that time. But the Divinity program just took a cut. If you're thinking about it and you're concerned you might not get work, I don't think you have that concern. Speaking of college, a student cries bias after receiving hello in Japanese from a worker at a campus restaurant. Now be careful how you respond to this one. We're going to see more and more of these. How we respond, with what attitude, muy important. Uh-oh, I think I just did cultural appropriation. A restaurant staffer at the University of Minnesota then was reported to the campus bias response team recently. Who knew there was such a thing? For the mistake of saying hello in Japanese to an Asian American student who turned out to be from Wisconsin, filing a report. This is a microaggression and a trigger. It's being investigated. Remember, they're not snowflakes. They're lost. They are the harvest field. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.